Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Nicola Everett.
Welcome to the Kent Online podcast on Tuesday, August the 4th. Well, it might be the middle of summer with temperatures due to hit the mid-30s this week, but we need to talk about Christmas. It's been confirmed that Kent's biggest panto, a festive tradition for many of you, won't be going ahead. The Marlow in Canterbury has been forced to postpone its production of Jack and the Beanstalk until next year. Around 100,000 people were expected to go and see it, but with no clarity on what social distancing measures will be in place by then, bosses say they couldn't put the decision off any longer. Ben Roddy would have been playing the Dame. Jerry gave him a call to find out what he thought.
It is a big blow, but I'm also aware that, you know, there's barely an industry in the country which hasn't been touched by this pandemic in one way or another. So I think it's important to keep perspective. I think it's important to remember that, you know, everyone's, and, you know, people that have suffered, you know, health-wise from this pandemic, you know, they're the ones that need our real sort of support and energy.
Well, the irony is, I suppose, that the panto is just the sort of thing that might have lifted people's spirits, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there is, you know, talk of a plan B. But of course, that will need to be flexible and will need to be, you know, following advice at the time, because obviously, you know, performance advice is changing sort of, you know, all the time. So there is a hope for something much smaller, more bespoke, you know, for the real panto aficionados at Christmas. But obviously, you know, that could be blown out of the water if there's a second spike or... But yeah, you're right, actually. You know, the shared experience, 1,200 people sitting together, cheering, laughing together as families, is it would be just a tonic, wouldn't it?
Of course, yeah.
But we'll have to wait till next year. We'll all be back together. We will all be back together, Jerry, in 2021, laughing and, you know, and cheering and saying we'll have to do it again then, won't we, whoops, together.
I mean, what will you plan to do with your time? I mean, obviously, you've been on the hold waiting for this decision, Ben, and what will you do with your time now?
Well, I'm a dad.
Projects in the pipeline?
Yeah, I'm an actor all last year at the RSC in their season at Stratford. Obviously, you know, I'm a theatre actor in the main, and all theatres are closed.
Yeah.
So that all of that work, I'm still auditioning for commercials, and I'm auditioning for bits and bobs on telly.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, it's tough as a theatre actor. Mainly, that's been my main income for the past 20 years. Has been, you know, from theatre. It's an industry that basically has ground to a halt. You know, so yeah, it's tough. But like I say, I'm trying to, you know, maintain perspective and realise, well, you know, no one's got it easy, have they? No one's, you know, all industries are suffering from this pandemic. So we just all need to pull together and, you know, and come out the other side.
It comes after the Assembly Hall in Tunbridge Wells also called off their Christmas production. And while we wait to hear if others will suffer the same fate, one theatre's confirmed it's going ahead with a COVID-safe show this year. Jack and the 2 Metre Beanstalk will be staged at the Stag in Sevenoaks, where Alice in Wonderland was originally going to take place. Producer Jamie Alexander-Wilson has been chatting to the Kent Online podcast.
We've been working for about 2 months with the management of the Stag Theatre. The Stag remains closed, although the cinemas are now open. The town council has given the Stag a little bit of money to keep it safe whilst it's closed. But the management made it really clear to us, if we don't try and do a pantomime this Christmas, the Stag may never reopen. So it's financially the most important thing in the year for any pantomime really around the country. And so we've been working on plans to stage a COVID-safe panto in a pandemic. We are socially distancing the auditorium, so the Stag Theatre's new box office software will automatically create a bubble around each booking. So if a family of 6 people book for the pantomime, all the seats in front of them, behind them, to their left and to their right will be blocked off. So everyone will be sat inside a bubble of empty seats. That, of course, means we can only sell about a third of the auditorium. So rather than 450 people in one go, we'll be performing to about 150 approximately. That means that we need to look again at the budget. So we'll be generating less than a third of our normal income from the box office. So we've had to make some cuts. We'll have 5 actors rather than the normal up to 12 actors in the show. We are limiting the run, so we're just doing the show for 2.5 weeks. The length of the show will be shorter, so just 90 minutes. And we'll be doing the show up to 4 times a day. It's a lot of work for the cast, and it's also a lot of personal commitment because all cast members are going to have to create a new bubble over the festive season and not see their friends, not see their families, not go to pubs or clubs. They all have to self-isolate for 2 weeks before the first day of rehearsal because if anybody is contacted by the track and trace programme, that means potentially we all have to go into isolation, which means the show has to be cancelled.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and 3 teenagers have been arrested after a man was attacked while walking with his family in Ashford. He's been taken to hospital with a head injury after getting into an argument with the suspects in Victoria Park. Kent Online can reveal staff at hospital trusts across Kent are facing a postcode lottery when it comes to being tested for coronavirus. East Kent Hospitals recently screened 9,000 of their workers following a rise in cases. 15 came back positive. Other NHS trusts in the county have different policies, with only patient-facing staff being tested every week at Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells. Just 410 employees at Medway Maritime have been checked since March, while at Darren Valley, all 3,000 staff have been tested in the last couple of weeks. Now, the government's giving £12 million towards building a new high-speed train station in Kent. Thanet Parkway near Cliff's End will create 800 jobs and improve journey times to London. It's hoped it'll make the area more attractive to people who commute into the capital. Thanet MP Sir Roger Gale has been reacting to the news.
This Parkway station, although it's located in South Thanet, will serve Sandwich, possibly Deal, certainly the Thanet towns, Margate, Broadstairs, Ramsgate, and the villages, and possibly even Herne Bay as well. I can see people driving from Herne Bay back to Thanet to catch a fast train to London, because the Kent coastline is very slow. That will open up the whole area. And most significantly, of course, and one of the reasons why this investment, I think, is being made, is the power that it will give to the redevelopment of Manston Airport for passengers in the future to be able to get from London to Manston in very short order will make, again, a significant difference. And we also hope, of course, that we'll get freight onto the fast line as well.
A contraflow system on the M20 is set to return in December as the government tries to minimise disruption once the Brexit transition period ends. Transport bosses are preparing to reinstall Operation Brock, but say it'll take just a matter of hours to do, as movable concrete blocks will be used instead of a metal barrier. A dog from Gravesend could be the first in the UK to have contracted coronavirus. The owner, who'd had COVID-19 symptoms, caught her pet chewing on discarded tissues. She's convinced he had the illness after developing similar symptoms, but a test wasn't available. Kent Online's been told how organised gangs are stealing tractors, quad bikes and even livestock from farms in Kent. Rural crime cost the county £1.8 million last year. Now, although that's a 30% drop on 2018, nationally, the problem is at its worst in 8 years. Rebecca Davidson is from NFU Mutual, who compiled the data.
They found that a lot of organised criminal gangs have been targeting farms. So they've been looking for high value machinery and tractors and quad bikes as well. And also the modern navigation systems that are such an important part of arable farming. When something like this gets stolen, it has a big impact on your business. Farmers are often working to very tight weather windows, so it can have a huge impact and business interruption. But at the same time, what we can't forget is so many of Kent's farms are not just places of work, they're family homes as well. So it can cause a huge amount of anxiety for the farmers and their families to know that very organised criminal gangs have been possibly staking out their place of work and home and targeting them in this way.
Residents in Whitstable say they're worried soaring temperatures this week could lead to a repeat of what's been described as a massive brawl on the hottest day of the year. Police were called to disperse a crowd of more than 100 people on the seafront. Some families say they're scared of more antisocial behaviour. Children starting at a new primary school near Gravesend in September will have to be taught in Strood instead while work to build their classrooms is completed. Ebbsfleet Green in the Garden City has been delayed because of the pandemic, so pupils will have to use space at Blight Primary. A Kent couple say they're pleased a judge has agreed with them that it is discrimination not to recognise humanist weddings in the same way as religious ones. But Victoria Hosegood and Charlie Janeway from Tunbridge say they're disappointed the High Court didn't go as far as saying the government was acting illegally.
Obviously, it's not the completely the desired outcome, but there were, overall, they agreed with lots and lots of our points and did agree that we are being discriminated against. And so now it's a case of, rather than if humanist wedding ceremonies are going to be legalised, it's a case of when. So it is overall a win. It's just a case of timescale is not quite what we wanted.
Because of COVID, we did have to postpone our wedding, and we have done it for a year, so it is September next year. So actually our time frame has unfortunately increased by a year. So we hope that the Law Commission would have changed by then, so by that time it is legally recognised, but it's going to impact a lot of other people up until that point, which is really upsetting.
I think in terms of our wedding as well, like, we want the humanist ceremony to be the big part and the bit where we kind of profess our love to each other in front of everyone, and then to have to go and do that again just to make it legal, it's not ideal, but yeah.
it's unfair.
At the moment, anyone wanting a humanist wedding also has to have a civil ceremony to make it legal, as Victoria said, where the government has promised a review of marriage law will be published next month. And temperatures are expected to soar again in Kent by the end of this week. Forecasters say it'll keep getting hotter over the next few days, with highs of, would you believe, 37 degrees on Friday. The Met Office have issued a health warning for the southeast and say it could be an official heatwave. That's it for today, but you can also now subscribe to the IM News app to access all KM Group newspapers. Head to iliffmediasubs.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.